From Television City, on the Mine, all Mine Network, my Quault, your Quault, everybody's favorite Quault, the Mayor of Penrith, here's his lordship.
Thank you, wonderful, thank you. Oh, please get up, I wouldn't expect people of your age to kneel for 1.5 hours, please. Oh, somebody have her shot, will you?
Blind rubbish, what's on the radio?
This is ABC Stir Fried Radio, and we'll be back in half an hour without Tony Baldwin, Kevin Daly, Peter Smalley, Jane Harders, Peter Whitford, Ross Higgins, Angela Webber, Adam Byrne, Lance Curtis, Vic Davies, Malcolm Lees, and Sylvia Karloff. Music today by Arthur Greenslade and the Bondi Broadcasters, and the Willie Choir Dave Colton All-Stars. Special guest vocalists Narcissus Montego, Booker T. Welfare, and Damien Wimp. But meanwhile, we're slightly out to lunch.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today in the sight of this congregation to join this man and this woman in holy wedlock.
Not as such.
Pardon?
Not technically this man and this woman, but it amounts to much the same thing.
Pretty, what are you doing here?
Oh, hi, Alice. Something came up and Jim asked me to fill in for him. He must have forgotten to mention it.
Something came up?
Yeah, so I'm standing in as a favour. I owe him one since he took my cat Butch down to the vet to get done.
Well, this is hardly the same situation, is it?
Oh, I don't know. Neither Jim nor Butch are going to be out on the tiles much anymore. Yeah, for Christ's sake, loosen up a bit, Alice.
Oh, this isn't the way it happened at the rehearsal, is it? Oh, dearie me. I'm afraid I'm not very good at improvising.
Well, just hit us with the usual spiel, Chief. Couple of blessings, I'll forge the register and who'll notice the difference?
I'll notice the difference.
Be a sport, Alice. Jim will be back in time for the reception. You know he wouldn't miss a piss up.
Yeah, just his wedding. I should have known I'd have trouble getting him along to anything where the grog wasn't laid on.
We could try a nuptial mass. Perhaps the wine would do it.
Well, you keep out of this. It's got nothing to do with you.
Calm down. Don't make a scene. Everybody's watching.
Of course everybody's watching. This is a wedding.
Well, let's get on with it then, eh?
I'll kill him.
Yeah, come on, Father. Let's get moving, eh? No need to let on. After all, you're a man of the world. Well, yeah, maybe not.
Do you, James Davis?
Fred.
Do you, Fred, take this woman...
But maybe I should be James David for the sake of argument.
Will he take this woman to be his lawful wedded wife, for richer, for poorer?
Yeah, I'm sure he will, all that stuff. After all, she's not that bad looking, nice personality, good in bed. Hold on, that was Mabel, wasn't it? Anyway, I do. I mean, he will.
Do you, Alice Jane, take this man, or one very much like him, to be your lawfully, I hope, wedded husband?
I do, but don't quote me on that.
I now pronounce you man and somebody else's wife. You may kiss the bride.
Might give it a miss, if you don't mind, the girlfriend sitting in the front row.
Well, come outside for the wedding photos, then. And make it look good.
Oh, sorry, Alice. We'll have to hang around here for a while. I promised to stand in for Tom Maxwell's wedding, the Harrison babies christening, and for old Norm Madden at his funeral.
Jealous Records, in association with someone who doesn't want their name mentioned, presents some more beautiful music on an almost new album by the unbelievable Ethel Streisand. Songs My Sister Hated, featuring little known smash hits like Oh, What a Hideous Handbag. Don't want to be fat no more. Jeez, I'm hungry. And the classic dub mix of Who Left the Iron On?
Silly cow.
Ethel Streisand's unique vocal talents are captured and tortured on a never-to-be-remembered mini-EP that will go down in history a long, long way. Jealous Records want you to experience Ethel Streisand's Songs My Sister Hated. Buy the album and you'll know why. And hurry, there's only 750,000 left on Jealous Records and Tapes, also available in 44-gallon drums. And remember, for every 500 copies you buy, you'll receive with absolutely no obligation a free Senorita curling wand and a personal surprise visit from Ethel Streisand and her accountant, Jeff.
Hello, and welcome to the beauty contest to end all beauty contests. A night of glamour, glitter, and feathers. Yes, it's the annual Budgerigar of Australasia show. T- Tonight, each of these three very lovely finalists will be judged by our expert panel according to personality, deportment, talent, and, of course, plumage. And to introduce them to us, here's Susan.
Thanks, Mike. Our first finalist tonight is Joey Boy, a lovely Mount Eden blue with glamorous white crest markings, all the way from South Australia. Joey Boy is a domestic pet who also works part-time with the handicapped and would like to become a successful actress. His hobbies include yoga, writing novels, and hopping about in a cage going, "Who's a pretty boy then?"
Thanks, Susan. We'll take you back to the Sydney Entertainment Centre after this break.
And what would you say if I smeared sump oil on this evening dress? And black bean sauce all over this pillowcase? And a bucket of hot bitumen over this tennis dress.
Oh, you'll never get those stains off.
Yes, I know.
I need the nipple and the rest of the groin.
Oh, dear. Your wife will never get those stains out.
On ABC Radio, the Right Honourable Sir Horace Tuckerbox, OA, speaks to the nation.
Yes, now, look, you know me. My record's an open and shut case. Sir Horace Tuckerbox here, Horry for short, federal member for the Cedar Larrikin for 32 years. I'm retired now, but I keep me nose to the pulse and all this yakety-yak that's going on about those tests at Maralinga. Black mist and terminal cancer and all that kind of thing. Oh, look, that's all a lot of tommy rot. Just an excuse for a lot of completely otherwise ordinary johnnies to get themselves on television and have a bit of a whinge. They never complained at the time, did they? Why? Because the world was saner then. Now it's just gone soft. Anyway, they needed a Labor man on the delegation for the tests, and Doc Ebbett rang me up and said, "Horry, I want you in the wilderness." Always had a funny way of putting things, Doc, and a terribly broad Australian accent, you know. Anyway, we drove into the test area in the Land Rover with General Spit barking. He was the Brit commander. But as a matter of fact, they wouldn't allow the parliamentary delegation out of the vehicle. We had to stop in there in these stinking hot boiler suit things with helmets on like men from Mars. Any rate, the general jumped out, stripped off, shouted tally-ho, and dived straight into a waterhole, just to show there was no contamination. Mind you, it was against the advice of his entire staff, but he proved the point. Nice bloke, the general, for a Brit. I believe he died in an asylum in Kent a while later on. I tell a lie, it was Hampshire. Broke out in a terrible festering rash, apparently, and ran round yelling out, "Mummy, mummy, I want a wee-wee." Completely mental. Very sad. Only ever seen one other case like it. When I was a lad, there was a bloke down the end of our street that used to bite the heads off cats. Chronic case. Well, I can say, with personal knowledge of the facts, that Maralinga was quite safe, straight after the bombs went off. I was there. You know that, and I know that. And as for all these claims for compensation and that, and all these blessed inquiries, look, the biggest growth industry in the world is bludging, isn't it? This is Horry, Sir Horace Tuckerbox, at Golden High Apartments in Surfers Paradise, setting history straight. Hooroo.
From bestseller to movie blockbuster, the biggest book of 1985 is now a major motion picture. Tex Dodge Films, in cooperation with If It Moves, Shoot It Productions, presents the 1985 Sydney Telephone Directory, The Movie. Yes, the people who brought you Roger's Thesaurus, the miniseries, and Rocky Meets the Adelaide Metropolitan Street Directory proudly present this epic production of the lives, loves, and area codes of Sydney's telephone subscribers. You'll thrill to the action-packed drama of directory assistance on a wet night. You'll laugh at the madcap antics of international subscriber dialing. And you'll scream with terror at the hideous telephone bill that would not die. It's all here. Nothing has been held back in this searing adaptation of the book that has had Sydney talking for a year. The 1985 Sydney Telephone Directory, starring Brian Brown as the Index, Judy Davis as the letters A to K, and Toshiro Mifune as the Yellow Pages. The 1985 Sydney Telephone Directory. It makes Picnic at Hanging Rock look like a picnic.
Of theme songs that 50 million pianos pound, and in an age where these radio scream songs, I only want one phrase around me. There's a cheerful little earful, gosh, I miss it, something fearful. And this cheerful little earful is the well-known out to lunch. Stocks may go down, business slow down, but the milk and honey flow down with the cheerful little earful of the well-known out to lunch. In every play, it's a set phrase, what the public get free. Ah, but as a pet phrase, it'll do, do, do. Boopa, do it. Soft and coy. Make me happy. You can do it. With a cheerful little earful. Yes, we're slightly out to lunch.
I say, could I have your autograph?
Grab what sort of white trash you want
to. Oh, that's absolutely fascinating. But I was wondering whether you could sign my bongo.
Song cool, Bomada.
Yes, it's from my little girl.
Donkey got bucket, huh?
You are the booker to your welfare.
Baby, don't give me no compare to summer's day, so I bust your ass or booty.
Hey, booker, that's real cool, man.
Yeah, now she's just cooking with gas.
Hey, why the chicken cross the street?
She never did. Chicks are all on my side.
Oh, well, who was that lady I saw you with at the yacht club?
That was the old lady. That was a fire hydrant.
There's a cheerful little earful, gosh, I miss it, something fearful. And this cheerful little earful is the well-known out to lunch. Yes, stocks may go down, business slow down, but the milk and honey flow down with a cheerful little earful of the well-known out to lunch. In every play, it's a set phrase, what the public get free. Ah, but as a pet phrase, it'll do, do, do. Yeah, boop, do it. Soft and cool. Make me happy. You can do it with a cheerful little earful. Yes, we're slightly out to lunch.
Take it away, chocolate drum. Hey, Booker, there's just one thing that's been bothering me, man.
What, brother?
Well, I know the man upstairs comes to you in a dream, but can you be absolutely certain that the Lion of Judah has returned as a wombat?
Hey, now, since that's been scooping parts of Rooney in a rocking church, how's your father, brother?
You're right.
Welcome back to the Sydney Entertainment Center and the annual Budgerigar of Australasia show. Here's Susan.
Our second finalist is Sabrina, a beautiful green and gold flecked St. Judith budgie from Western Australia. Sabrina is also a domestic pet with a keen interest in helping the handicapped and amateur dramatics. Her other interests include hurling the discus, writing letters to international economic journals, and birdseed.
Thanks, Susan. We'll have more from the annual Budgerigar of Australasia show in a moment.
Nice trip to Asia, sir.
Oh, yeah, it was really fantastic. Like, I saw these incredible colours.
And you've ticked nothing to declare.
Yeah.
So you won't mind us going through your shoulder bag?
Get out of my aura, man.
Now, let's see. One deck of guitar, gold, handcrafted pipe, one athletic supporter, two copies of Grope magazine, one packet of pink rocks, 2 ounces of...
Why ruin the perfect Asian holiday by trying to bring prohibited goods into Australia? When you could be boosting Australian exports by smuggling parrots for pleasure and profit. There's no cold turkey with a rainbow lorikeet up your sleeve. Complete your haircut with a pair of matching galahs. Sample a sulfur-crested cockatoo down each trouser leg. And remember, whatever the conservationists say, the parrots enjoy it as much as you do.
Hello again from the annual Budgerigarra Australasia show.
Our final contestant, Fang, is a stunning Lee Marvin purple from the Blue Mountains. Fang is an undomesticated budgerigar who still lives in the wild and is committed to the violent overthrow of the oppressive human bird enslavers and the setting up of an avian autocracy along Maoist lines. Fang also works part-time with the handicapped and would like to be in a successful television series.
Thanks, Susan. Our panel of judges, who represent Australia's leading authorities on budgerigars, have just gone into a huddle. I'll see if they've made their decision yet. No. No, not quite. So in the meantime, it's back to the studio.
And now it's time for our weekly Pets Corner with our regular veterinary consultant, Bruce Losis. Welcome, Bruce.
Hello, and it's nice to be with you again, and as usual I'm speaking to you from my busy surgery here at the clinic in Drainage Hills, and this week's letter comes from Gregory Wickard of Tissue Bank. Yes, I hurried through there last week, Greg. And you write, Dear Bruce, on the television I have seen films that have miniature animals in them, and I would really like to get a miniature giraffe. Not just an ordinary toy one, but one that moves and eats leaves and everything. Where do these animals live, and how could I get one? Oh, gee, what a terrific idea, Greg. You could have a whole garden full of them, couldn't you? Like a mini safari park. Lions and tigers and elephants and camels and, of course, giraffes. But unfortunately, Greg, there is no such thing as a miniature wild animal. That's only a television trick, you see. And I'd like to talk to you about this business of watching television, if I may. I'm worried that your whole life is centered around the wretched thing, Greg. No, I'm not saying it's your fault. These television people have got a lot to answer for, and with all the sordid things going on in your home, I don't blame you for getting sucked in. Your mum brings strange men home and takes them upstairs to tell their fortune. That's what she tells you, isn't it? And your dad comes home once a month and wrenches out all the plumbing with his bare hands. And your sister Jewel calls herself Little Miss Mucus and puts liquid bleach in your cornflakes. Frightful sort of atmosphere altogether. But I'm afraid sitting glued to the TV all day watching miniature animals won't help, Greg. We have to face reality in our lives. And if I were you, I'd introduce a trained boa constrictor into the household to do your bidding. Much more aggressive than a giraffe. And if you don't like what somebody's doing, for example, your dad throwing the bath out the window while you're in it, you simply whistle up your boa and it squeezes him till he dies. So forget the TV, Greg, okay? Concentrate on revenge. This is Bruce Losis saying goodbye till next time, and remember, it's not only animals that need to know who's in charge.
Intermediate German Vocabulary, Lesson 5. Listen and repeat. 1.
Der Spucknapf.
The spittoon. 2.
Der Augenarzt.
The optometrist. 3.
Das Teebrötchen.
The crumpet. 4.
Die Lederhosen.
The leather pants. 5.
Der Dudelsack.
The bagpipe. 6.
Baumeln lassen.
To dangle. 7.
Der Kleiderschrank.
The wardrobe. 8.
Die Verrücktheit.
Craziness.
Wahnsinn.
Lunacy.
Oh.
Liebling.
Ja.
Komm hier.
Ja. Oh. Oh. Oh.
Good evening, sir. Welcome to Julio's Used Foods. Would you like to order now?
Oh, well, let's see. What do you recommend?
Well, the chef recommends the pepper steak, sir. Only one careful owner, just been traded, a few teeth marks around the edges, that's all. There's also some partly chewed dewfish meuniere, and the regurgitated lobster is excellent.
I beg your pardon?
Sir?
You mean the food's already been eaten?
We prefer to call it pre-owned. It's how we manage to keep our prices so fantastically low.
I think I'd prefer to have something that hasn't already been touched by someone else.
I see. Well, what about the steak and kidney pie, sir? Crust's hardly been touched. A little bite out of the corner. We can cover it with some second-hand mashed potato. You'd never know, sir.
It sounds revolting.
What about the hot duck livers on raw spinach with cream sauce? Only one careful owner, old lady, who used to take it down the shops with her. It's never been further than Darlinghurst.
Oh, no, thank you. Don't you have anything that hasn't already been eaten?
The very thing, sir, the very thing. The prawn cocktail. One not very hungry owner had two prawns and a bit of lettuce and sent it back. We brought it in just this morning for detailing. Worth a look, sir.
Oh! Come on, Deirdre, we're leaving.
There is the meatballs, only three are demos. Go lovely with the freshly sucked orange juice.
I'm reporting you to the health authorities. This place is disgusting. Come on, my dear, we're going to a decent restaurant.
Sir, wait. I haven't told you about the Irish stew, sir. Snob.
I wish I'd eaten up my beans instead of making all those scenes. I wish I'd cleaned the bowl out and asked for more. I'm sorry now, I went and threw them on the floor. And if I'd eaten up my beans, my taters, fillet steaks and greens, I wouldn't be the skinny little thing today. But any little breeze would come and blow away. I wish I could fill out my jeans. I wish I'd eaten up my beans. I wish I'd eaten up my stew the way a little boy should do. Nowadays I never go without my lunch. I'd lie around and scream and bite and kick and punch. I wish I'd eaten up that stew and cut out all the ballyhoo. It's obvious my mama dear was oh so right to worry about my constant lack of appetite. You see the way my ribs bow through. I wish I'd eaten up my stew.
Nutrition means. Now I've eaten up my beans, Lord. Now I've eaten up them beans.
Aboard Orbital Space Station 1, it's day 255. Crewman John Saxon and Leroy Jefferson are having lunch.
Could you pass the Waldorf salad tablet, please, Leroy?
Here, John. Any more of that white wine powder left?
Leroy, you just had pepper steak paste. Don't you know red wine concentrate goes with red meat concentrate?
Oh, screw all this junk, John. Let's send out for some pizzas.
Little did these two brave men know that these simple words were to set in motion one of the great adventures of space exploration.
Excuse me, Mr. Director.
No.
We've just received a special message from OSS-1.
Mm-hmm.
There's a crisis in their life support system.
What's the problem, Kowalski?
Well, sir, Saxon and Jefferson have requested two pizzas.
Uh-huh.
One supreme, one marinara, hold the anchovies.
Well, they're good men. It must be serious. What are the chances of putting a pizza in space?
Pretty good, I'd say, sir.
Uh-huh.
The Russians have had encouraging results with their orbital borscht.
Yeah.
And our pizzas have much greater vacuum tolerance. We can have a Titan II with a pizza nose cone on the launch pad, maximum 8 hours.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about the serviettes, though, sir.
It's an emergency, Kowalski. We'll have to go without them. What about cost?
Approximately $84 million on the latest computer projection. Now, that's not counting the cost of the pizza.
We can get them at Giovanni's. He's pretty cheap. You've got the go-ahead, Kowalski. Oh, yeah, and could you pick up a ham and pineapple for me?
Meanwhile, in Earth orbit, two men await the moment that will change their lives.
I am starving.
Wait a minute. I've got something on the radar. Here comes something. Yeah, it's the pizzas.
Oh, boy. Hey, I hope they aren't cold. I'm worried about the heat loss through the cardboard box in outer space.
Yeah, it's right on target.
Oh, shit.
The Australian Broadcasting Corporation would like to apologize for the previous sketch.
We were pissed.
Seas, around the globe, out of the outback, and into your local theater. It's the Cooey Newsreel. New Zealand. And to mark the new strategic defense treaty between the Kiwis and the United States, a goodwill visit from the rubber dinghy USS Donald Duck, in line with Wellington's non-nuclear stand. The Cooey cameras are there as she glides grandly into beautiful Muldoon Sound. Ensign Marvin Lobotomy, her one-man captain and crew, peels off a snappy naval salute and disappears under the jetty. The reception committee, led by Cadet Trevor Longy, no relation, hurry across to the other side, but the Donald Duck has vanished. Ah, there she is, overturned in the shallows. And there's Ensign Lobotomy. Yes, he's dripping wet, but safe, plucked from the deep by Royal New Zealand Navy rescue pedal boat. An important new defense treaty is launched with a splash across the Tasman Sea. Sun-drenched Sicily and Australian tourists watch in fascination as villagers demonstrate the little-known sport of eye wrestling. Two young men stand a meter apart and try to render each other unconscious with unpredictable eye movements. Round and round go their eyes, up and down, weaving and crossing in a bewildering display of ocular gymnastics. Now one of the youths falters. His eyes flicker drunkenly and he falls in a dead faint. The Australian crowd applauds enthusiastically. Bella vista, signore, the exotic sport of eye wrestling in faraway sunny Sicily. The rust-red Kimberleys. And explorer Greg Sandwich begins to tunnel his way into a towering rock face. Greg is hoping to find the legendary lost cave of the Incas. But why here, Greg, pleads his tearful wife, Denise. Greg, his brows sweaty with determination, digs on. His only tools, the bucket and spade his mother gave him for his fifth birthday. Some things are sacred, he mutters grimly. I don't expect to gain anything from this. Denise retires to the family tricycle and bravely awaits the result. I know he'll fail, she sobs fondly. It's always the same. Intrepid explorer Greg Sandwich tackles another problem in the red ranges of the Kimberleys. The Cooey Newsreel, across the globe, out of the outback, and into your theatre.
Right, sit down, please. Now...
I'll sit over there, Harry. We're right. Not really married, you know. You don't have to tell them that.
Don't worry, before
that's just what I have to put up with.
Yes, I understand. But before we sort of get into it...
I'll stop doing that, Harold. What? That thing with your slippers. Isn't it disgraceful? A grown man couldn't get out of his flannelette jammies. Well, come to the marriage gardens, Council.
We're not really married, you know.
Oh, you don't have to go on about it.
Please, I'd rather you didn't argue.
Oh, shut up.
Everything about everybody annoys her.
Well, everyone has their little idiosyncrasies.
Look at
I
you.
Think that's
Would
the...
you want to share a house with him?
Well, I don't really know him.
Oh, shut
up. Seems like a... I think you'll find that... It's only natural.
Shut up.
Yeah, shut up. I think it's stopped raining, Lil. Perhaps we can leave now.
Come on, let's get out.
I really want to help you.
We've been slightly out to lunch with a script by Tony Baldwin, Kevin Daly, Ken Matthews, Steve Johnson, David Witt, Peter Smalley, Colin Bowles, Angela Weber, Adam Byrne, Vic Davies and Malcolm Lees. Original music by Tony Baldwin, Kevin Daly and Andy Leggett. Cooey Newsreel consultant is Robert Parker. Production assistant Linda Hughes. Script editor Julianne Ford. Sound effects today by Helen, John and Vince. Technical production was by Warwick Maver. Slightly Out to Lunch is produced by Kevin Daly and Tony Baldwin.
Well, there's no need to get excited yet because we haven't really got to the heart of things now.
Oh, shut up!